very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. An interesting conversation today, but before we get to that, can I just say I was just outside and it's raining. It feels like February. It's windy. What happened, by the way, in November, where Maynooth University and all those other universities and all those people who kind of, you constantly promote climate change, telling us that the world was going to burn up this year, where average temperatures have actually been lower. We had a slightly warmer January and February, but that's the way the climate works. It keeps changing all the time. We can't predict it, and we certainly can't predict it this year because the average temperature over the last month has certainly been lower than average. And look, if, you know, climate change means that we're going to increase by 1 or 2 degrees, I say bring it on because it's freezing out. Well, freezing for this time of the year. So I'm not buying into it all. And by the way, isn't it a good thing that I ran for election? Because at least we kept the Green Party out of Europe in Ireland. And that was a good thing. So I kept Ciarán Cough out of obviously not being elected in Dublin. And all across Europe, by the way, the Green Party did dismally all across Europe when it came to European MEPs. So hopefully we're going to see a change in that. Because let's be clear about it. The Green Party are no different to the men and women, primarily men, who walked around the streets in the 1960s with placards and sandwich boards on them saying the end is nigh. The only difference is now they're a political party. Realistically, what they're doing is making no difference. All they do is punish people constantly. When you think about it, for example, in relation to carbon emissions, all of the stuff that we've done over the last 4 years, banning this and banning that and reducing this and reducing that, has made absolutely no difference to the actual targets and the figures that they had predicted over the next 20 years. They said that the other day in a report, or should I say 2 weeks ago in a report. So in other words, if all of the stuff we've done so far has made no difference, what is the point in continuing to do it? It just punishes people, and it punishes those people who can less afford it. It doesn't affect Mick and Docky too much that he has to pay an extra 20 or 30 cent for his diesel or petrol in his car, but it certainly affects, you know, John and Coolock. He has to pay it because he's working class and he doesn't have as much money. Also, the idea that we should all run out and buy those stupid electric cars, I mean, that's all come a cropper now. Hasn't electric cars have dropped in value by 50%? Garages can't sell the damn things. BMW seem to be pulling out of it. Toyota are now pulling out of it completely and they're building hydro cars. The electric car model, or the current model of the electric car called the BEV, the battery electric vehicle, is a used vehicle. It is a pointless system. Nobody's going to sit around waiting for 7 hours for a battery to charge. The system in the future will most likely be an atomic cell or some form of hydrogen car, which will be much more efficient, much better, much more convenient, will have a longer range, but not like these useless electric cars we have at the moment. And sadly, people were duped by the Green Party and everybody else, just like we were duped by the Green Party back in 2007 to buy diesels. We're now being duped to buy electric cars that are kind of pointless and inconvenient. Everybody's not going to have them, and everybody did. Where would we actually get the electricity from? We still have to produce it with fossil fuels. 85% of the fuel in the world, or the energy in the world, is produced with fossil fuels. And all the Green Party do is encourage the cost of fossil fuels to go up and up and up, which affects everybody. Thank you very much indeed. That's my rant for today. Now, second rant, by the way, John McGurk wrote an interesting piece yesterday in Grip Media in relation to Ciarán Mullooly's decision to join the Renew Group in Europe. And he goes on, I'm going to read a piece of the article here. It says, Independent Ireland's decision to align in the European Parliament with the Renew Group of MEPs, which includes, amongst others, the MEPs from Fianna Fáil and those of the arch-EU Federalist Guy Verhofstadt. The specific party the Independent Ireland has joined, the European Democrats, are an interesting bunch, he says. Their manifesto, for example, contains lots of lines that Ciarán Mullooly voters might have been interested in to hear before they actually elected him. Did you know, for example, he said, they want to remove all obstacles to an inclusive society embracing transgender, transgenderational and transnational diversity. Also, they want Europe car-free streets, or that they want to abolish Ireland's veto over all areas of EU policymaking, or that they want emergency clauses to authorise the European Union to act with emergency powers in a major crisis like COVID, for example, or that they want to expand the EU sovereignty over health, education and energy, or do they want to turn the EU into a defence union by abolishing the right of a national veto over EU defence policy? And their policies on immigration would certainly not be in line with what people who may have voted for Ciarán Mullooly, for example, would be interested in. Now, I don't want to focus too much on Ciarán Mullooly. He's been well and truly attacked online over what he's done, his U-turn, so to speak, because most people would have expected Independent Ireland and Ciarán Mullooly to join the ECR. And indeed, if I had been elected, that's who I would have joined. Somebody said yesterday, Niall, why didn't you say that during your interviews? And I've got to be honest with you, right? During the interviews on numerous occasions, every one of the candidates of the European Union were asked who or what grouping they were going to align with. The reason most didn't say it and most refused to answer that question is because the press have a field day and that would affect your possibilities of being elected. For example, if I had have said I'm going to join the ECR, which are conservative reformists, they would have looked into the ECR as they've done in the past, and they would have looked at individuals who would have been part of the ECR in the past who would have been homophobic or racist, right? That doesn't mean I'm necessarily homophobic or racist because somebody in the past or part of that grouping would be a homophobe or a racist. But in saying that, the press would have had a field day. So it's better not to say it, but I can guarantee you that I would have joined the ECR because I have a huge amount of time for the ECR and I think they're doing the right thing because I'm a conservative. I certainly wouldn't have joined a grouping that's also part or that Fianna Fáil are part of the government that I was acting against during that election. That wouldn't make any sense whatsoever. But here's the thing. Politicians in general, when they make a promise and they go back on that promise, do you believe they should be stripped of their title? I'll give you a simple example. For example, recently Simon Harris said there'll be no more tents in Dublin. That was about 2 months ago. We've continued to see tents in Dublin. They said they wouldn't finance them. They continue to finance them. When politicians make a promise on your doorstep, and this is an important time, an important year. We got the English elections today, the American elections at the end of this year. You've got the Irish general election, most likely sometime between probably September and October, November, maybe, I don't know. And you're going to have politicians at your door and you're going to be whinging to them saying, you know, we want more housing. We need to sort of the immigration crisis. And they're going to say, yeah, we're going to do that. And you've seen politicians for Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin, and the whole lot of them, with the exception of some of the extreme lefties who wouldn't do anything at all about anything, they were promising before the previous elections, the European elections and the local elections, that they were going to tackle immigration, the immigration crisis, and get tough. They didn't, and they're not going to. They're just saying those things to get you to vote for them. Now, in some countries, if a politician lies or a politician deceives the voters, there is sanctions. In America, there are certain sanctions as well for politicians who don't deliver. But in Ireland, there is no sanctions. So, you know, Pat Robert said in RTÉ going back a long, long time ago, that's what politicians do. You know, they deceive you at the front door, essentially. So should we accept that? Is that just part of being in politics? And there is an argument that somebody might say to me, well, Niall, you know, you made a lot of promises as well while you were running for election. Would you have been able to deliver them all? I don't know is the answer. Would I be able to deliver them? I would certainly try my best and I would keep my promise to try to do it. Would I be able to deliver it? I would like to think I would have made a good job at it, a good stab at it, and certainly been a representative of the people. But would I be able to achieve it? We wouldn't know and we'll never know that. But here's the thing, if politicians do try to achieve something that they promise, is that the same thing as not achieving it, if you know what I mean? So in other words, do you believe that politicians should be sanctioned or stripped of their titles if they intentionally go back on what they said to voters? In other words, they do something completely different to what they said to voters. Let me know what you think. The number is 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Now, I'm going to go to Dave, Sarah, Steve and Suzanne. Let me go to Dave. Dave, hi, how are you doing?
What's the crack?
What's the crack, Dave? Dave, I mean, look, politicians rarely keep promises. Maybe some of them do try to keep them, but they just don't achieve it or they get blocked or it's just too difficult. But they do make those promises. Is it fair that we sanction them for making those promises? Should they be punished or sanctioned in some way?
Well, like I think like there's a difference between a politician saying, I'm going to endeavour to do X, Y and Z and they're not able to do it. I think that's fair enough. I don't think anybody would really hold that against them. But I'd be thinking things like, do you remember Enda Kenny when he said it was a Roscommon General Hospital? He said, that's not going to close. That's not going to close. Then bang, they close.
Well, Enda Kenny also said that he would never bring in a property tax, that we should never tax the family home.
Yeah. Or when they say, oh, well, we're bringing in the universal social charge, but it's only a temporary thing. I mean, to be fair to Pascal O'Donoghue, I'll give him this much. He's the only politician who I've ever said, listen, that's not going anywhere. And he was straight up front about it. And I was like, right, I think you're a bit of a dick, but I have more respect for you because at least you were honest and said, you know, where the rest of them skirt around and go, well, maybe we can lower it, maybe we can get rid of it in the future. At the very least, Pascal said, that's not going anywhere. We get a lot of revenue from it. Blah, 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 blah. Suck it up. I wasn't happy about it. But at the same time, I was like, he's got a bit more respect for me because at least he was honest. You know,
I mean, look at all the political parties before the European elections who said they were going to get tough on immigration. Yet all of the political parties voted in favour of the EU migration pact when it went through the Dáil last week, quietly. And they all voted in favour of it. So when it wasn't a landslide vote, of course, because many of the independents voted against it. But in saying that, the main parties voted for it. The main government parties voted for it. So, they're not really getting tough. So they're lying, aren't they?
Well, of course they're lying, but like politicians have always lied. I mean, like why is anybody surprised?
But is that acceptable, like, Dave? That line, but that's what politicians do. Are we done with that line? Is that line acceptable anymore?
Well, we're not done with it, but it's a conversation we've probably been having since like the formation of the Irish state.
It's getting worse.
I mean, I was only thinking earlier on. I remember like when Mary Harney was caught. What was it? She spent like. It was a 400 euro or something like that of taxpayer money getting her hair done. And she left office. You know, so once upon a time, there was more accountability. Then we had Leo, giving that memo to mates of his that he really shouldn't have done. And he was fine. So, like, yeah, they're getting bolder to the fact. See, the problem is there's no apparatus there to, you know, say, well, you're after doing something wrong or you've just blatantly lied to the people. We have to pull you up on it. They don't. They just say, yeah, sorry, I made a mistake there. I won't do it again. And that's the end of it. I mean, fine, we had the Public Accounts Committee, but what power do they actually have?
Well, they don't really have any teeth. That's the problem. SIPO don't have any teeth either, so they don't really have any power. It's like a tribunal.
We have tribunals. Brilliant. It's all out there in the open. So even if we wanted to bring a criminal trial against someone, we can't do it because they could claim they won't get a fair trial because people could be biased against them. Like, the whole system is built to look after them and their interests, you know, and because they're the ones making the laws, they're not going to be the ones to make the laws to hold themselves accountable because they're basically slapping themselves in the hand. You know,
but when they do something as obvious as, say, we'll talk about Ciarán Mullooly, for example, who got voted as a European into the European Parliament as part of Independent Ireland. Independent Ireland's manifesto, and I know because I was part of it, I'm not connected to them anymore, but their manifesto and their policy essentially, you know, would be to fix the immigration crisis. It would be probably for a two-gender society. It wouldn't include gender ideology. Obviously, it wouldn't be as green as some of the other parties because they want to protect agriculture. And yet the party or the grouping that he joins goes against all of that. You would imagine he would have joined the ECR. So, you know what I mean? So, that if his voters had have known that's what he was going to do, they might not have voted for him.
No, they wouldn't have voted for him. And I mean, like you said, it was Pat Ryan. I thought it was Michael Noonan was the one that actually said that, you know, bare-faced. Irish politicians lie at the doorstep to get.
Oh, maybe, you know, what? Maybe it was. I can't remember which one. I know it was one.
See, Michael Noonan. He was the one that sounded like a villain from an old Hammer horror, wasn't he?
Yes, yeah, he's a talker. He talked like that.
You know what? It was him, yeah, because I remember when he said it, I was like, that's both saddening and also sounds incredibly sinister at the same time.
Yeah, you think you're right, actually. I stand corrected.
We see, like, we need a whole reform of the political system in this country. Like, I don't believe, because politicians are looked after well in this country when it comes to wages and pensions and expense accounts and stuff like that. I firmly believe that politicians, once they leave office here, they're sitting on a big nest egg of money anyway. They don't really need to work a job like you or I for the rest of their lives. I don't think that they should be allowed to take up jobs in the European Union. I really don't. I don't believe that any politician who's a landlord should have any say in the writing of laws in regards to housing or should even be allowed to vote on anything in regards to housing. Because it's like if two people are getting divorced, they're not going to have the same solicitor because there's a conflict of interest. So we shouldn't allow that in our political system anyway. Mm. You know, like there should be ways to sanction them. There should be ways to kick them out of their jobs. I mean, if you say, I am going to endeavor to bring back an A&E department and you genuinely try to do it and you don't do it, that's fair enough, you tried. But when you say stuff like, I want to bring back this A&E department and you found to be voting against funding for stuff like that or to completely switch sides, I think you should lose your job.
Okay. Well, hang on. Let me just go to Sarah as well. I want to go to Steve and Suzanne as well. Sarah, hi. How are you?
I'm grand, Niall. How are you?
You're very lively this morning, aren't you?
Are you enjoying that weather?
I'm loving the weather, yeah.
I just blew in from the windy city. The windy city ain't many pretty, but.
Okay.
We ain't got what we got. And that's it. Soapy government. Anyway, however,
Yes, getting back to the topic at hand, and that's your sing-song, your morning sing-song. Go on.
No, but Dave made a lot of sense there. You know, the accountability. You know, as you say, your politicians out there promising you the sun, the moons, and the stars. And then when it comes down to the nitty-gritty things, it doesn't happen. And I'm not great with politics, as you know. In regards to politicians, I don't trust them. But, you can just see what's happening around us, between that children's hospital, between the roads, between everything, and basically between everything that...
Well, that's different. That's failings, right? Failings are, all politicians fail to achieve what they're meant to achieve sometimes, or cost things and things go up and things go wrong. There's no country is run perfect. I get that, okay? But, you know, mm-hmm. at a time of an election, Sarah, a politician comes to your door and he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Meg. I'm going to make sure. You say, look, the traffic on that road outside is mad. And he goes, don't worry, we're building a new road on the other side there that'll bypass that. And I'm going to be part of that. And then 2 months later, he gets elected. He goes into power. And then the local council are looking for funding for the road. And he objects to the funding for the road. The one who told you he wanted the new road. So in other words, he lied to you just to get your vote. Should he lose his job?
Sure, yeah. 100%.
Mm.
No, because I see where you're coming from with that. And it happens a lot up and around where I am because of so many potholes. And you'd have the TDs going around the doors and we're going to, look, it's full of Facebook photographs. Look what I did this year. Look how many roads or transformations I'm after getting done. But then when you look at the funding within the council, you know, obviously it didn't come from them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, something further on down the line is more urgent that needs to be done and hasn't been done. Where the rest of the money is given to some GAA club or something like that. I don't know, wherever the case may be.
Okay, so if they blatantly lie, but if they genuinely do try to get the funding for the road, for example, that just doesn't happen, well, at least they've tried. But you believe if they blatantly go against what they told you at the front door or in their manifesto on their leaflet or whatever it is, more so to the point, because telling you at the door is only hearsay, but on their leaflet or their manifesto, they say one thing, but they do something different.
You had a show on there not so long ago, and there was a topic near enough, something near to the same as this, and I was listening to it on the way home work, and I turned around and I said, to myself, I said, they should be given a certain amount of time to prove their actions, to prove that they're actually working, and it's promising.
Yeah.
It's not lies or bullshit, I don't want to be rude using bad language, but, that's genuine, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, and so forth and so on, and if they're really trying. And what Dave said there, at least he was honest about it up front. You know where you stand.
Yeah.
But then if you're putting your faith into, it's like blind faith, you're putting your faith into something that hope and a mission and it's not happening. But yeah, another 4 or 5 years down the road, the same person is still standing there or switching to another party. That really annoys me. Or goes from one party and then comes independent.
I don't mind that so much. If somebody's with, say, Fianna Fáil and you vote for them and then they pull out of Fianna Fáil to go independent because they don't agree with what Fianna Fáil are doing, that could be a good sign. That could equally be
I don't trust Niall because, you had it there. I don't know his name, no, I know his face. I'm brutal at names. You know what I mean? And then when you look at, their ethos or what their beliefs is, as you said, that if you're in a party, you mightn't disagree or you might agree, but you'll stay partial or whatever the case may be. I don't trust people like that that'll hop and change.
Okay, hang on, Dave and Sarah. Let me just go to Steve as well. Steve, hi, how are you doing?
Well, firstly, they're going to have to forgive me because I didn't go to bed till 7 o'clock this morning. So I'm exhausted and I may have a few brain farts along the way.
Right, as long as it's the only fart you have. Yeah, go on.
Yes. Look, I have a pain in my ring with politics at this stage because there's not one of us who don't realise that politicians are goddamn liars. And it doesn't matter whether they're independents or with the big parties. We know that they lie. And you're going to have a ton of people coming on here today, Niall, who are going to say, oh, politicians are liars, they're this, that, and the other. And yet they're going to sit on their big fat arses and do nothing about it. People won't run these days. Ordinary people won't run. And if they do, that power corrupts and they will become just like them. I have a friend of mine who ran in the local council elections in Westmeath, and he didn't get in, unfortunately. But the party that he was running with, one of the conversations that I had with him was that he was promising the people, you know, left, right and centre. He said, but the party was telling them other things. You can't go against the whip. And that's the problem. You can't go against your own party. You can go in, you know, gung-ho and say, I'm going to do the best thing in the world. But at the end of the day, you're not. You're just going to end up like every other politician. If you had a got in, Niall, you know, I was having a look at your website there the other day, the Niall Boylan Europe thing.
Yeah. It's gone now, by the way.
And there was immigration, NGOs, housing, law and order.
Yeah.
What in the name of Jesus could you have done about housing?
Well, can I just say one thing? In relation to the stuff that would have been on the website, they would have been the manifesto of the policy of independent Ireland or the policy of the party, right? But in saying that, in relation to RT, he asked me the same question. What could I do about housing if I had been a European MEP? You're right, there's very little. There's Airbnb directives that would have been coming in. There's also going to be a fund set up for affordable housing that I would like to see Ireland get a good, you know, few quid out of. But that's not going to solve the housing crisis, okay? But what I would have, instead of having a platform of, you know, a couple of 100,000 people, maybe per month or whatever it is, you know, on radio or on podcasts or whatever, I'd have a platform of 250 million people online. You know, as a European MEP. So you could embarrass
them.
You can be a loud voice. I've achieved a lot in 30 years on radio by just being a loud voice. We've helped with the Debenham strike, we helped with bullying campaigns, with legislation, you know, and we were part of all of that. Without us, and without the radio show at the time, you know, we wouldn't have got or achieved all of that. The mother and baby homes.
I was a big part of
that. Well, no, I am going to pat myself on the back. I was a part of that. So if I had a bigger audience, you could do a lot more.
Niall, right, you know, you think you could have. And then again, you could have been one of these politicians who just gave empty promises. You think you can go in and change it. But you can't.
But hang on. For the voters who vote for you, the least you could do is try.
Absolutely, you can try. But you know as well as I do, before you even went in there, Niall, you knew that there was fuck all you could do about housing.
No. Well, hang on. When you talk about housing, I didn't run on housing, by the way. The immigration issue was the one.
No, but you mentioned it.
Of course I mentioned it, because it is a national issue. And independent
empty
Ireland.
Promise.
And independent Ireland, we're looking to get people, obviously, in the general election as well. So obviously I would have been talking about that fact. But I did say that the one thing that I would be able to do is give a voice to people in Europe, right? And if that voice could do something well and good, get back to the point I'm making, right? At least I would try. If a politician, for example, says to you and goes out looking for your vote as a European MEP or a local election or a general election candidate and says, I'm going to do, and I promise you, I'm going to sort out, you know, the new road, the new ring road around the town or whatever.
Okay.
And as Dave says, when it comes to, say, pitching for the, you know, the funding for that road, he votes against it. Should he lose his job?
Niall, it seems like you're rather uncomfortable me pointing the spotlight at you.
No, because, not at all.
Because here's the thing. Your main policies were X, Y, and Z. But you also said that you would be looking into these other things, knowing full well that there was nothing you could do about it.
Again, I disagree with you. When you say knowing full well there's nothing I could do about it, I genuinely believe I could do something about it.
Then that's what every other goddamn politician is going to say.
Dave, is that a fair point that politicians will call to your door telling you they will do something about a certain thing, you know, be it, you know, a small-time local politician will tell you, I'm going to sort out immigration, when realistically he doesn't have the power to do that. He can shout and roar a bit at his local TD, or he can shout and roar a bit if he is a TD in the Dáil, but realistically he doesn't have a huge amount of power.
Yeah, well, you know what? I give local councillors this much. Local councillors are probably the more honest of the political elk or ilk. A lot of them, where I live, they are anyway. Am I speaking from my own personal experience here? A lot of my local ones are probably more honest, because they'll tell you, look, we don't have much power in regards to anything on a national stage, but on the local level, we can do X, Y, and Z, or we can try to do X, Y, and Z. And to be fair, there are some where I live, they don't do this whole parky politics thing where they're like, well, you're Sinn Féin, fuck you, or you're Fine Gael, go walk into fucking traffic. They actually make a genuine effort to bring a certain level of cohesion. I mean, their biggest stumbling block at the moment is the civil service. It's not necessarily, you know, our political system at the moment. But I think the problem with people is we're just so used to it, and we become so apathetic towards politics and towards politicians, where they're going to be like, if you vote for me, I'm going to give you a unicorn. And you're going to be like,
But here's the thing, Dave. People are obshites in this country because for some reason they go, okay, and then they vote for them. They really do. Look, I don't want to pick on any one individual, but like, you have really popular independents who got in, like Malachy Stenson, very popular guy. He got in. The first thing he said was, this is the start of a revolution. No, it's not. No, where's the bleeding revolution? There's no revolution.
You see, they're buzzwords. Like, for real political change, for real social change in this country, you're talking the lifetime of a government, if not two. But people don't, like, your average everyday Joe Soap doesn't seem to realize, for us to, like, you know, make legislation, affect new rules that are actually going to have a tangible impact on our society, could take anywhere for 10 years or more. And we also live in the age of instant gratification. So you're not going to, like, some guy goes, right, well, I have a fiscal plan and we're going to implement it, and taxes may rise for a while, but after X amount of years, those taxes will lower and we'll have more of this, we'll have more of that. Most people nowadays are going to go, fuck off. But if a guy knocks your door and says, hey, I'm going to get all them blacks out of the country in the next 2 years, most people are going to be like, that's my fucking guy right there. You know, your average everyday Joe Soap isn't politically savvy. You know,
considering the timeline that you're talking about, you know, it would take this length of time to actually put the country right. You know, people are not aware of that. You are obviously politically driven and you're motivated enough to know these things, but people are stupid and they vote for buzzwords.
And that's fair enough, and I get that, and you're both right, by the way. It can take 10 years to make any kind of political change, and unfortunately most governments only last 5. That's why they hope to get into term of office for at least 2 or 3 terms so they can fix whatever it is they're trying to fix. But in real terms, when you've got somebody who goes out, you know, as a forget about the local politicians for the second, the local councillors, right? That's kind of smaller time stuff. It's more local stuff. But when you're on a national level, when you have somebody running to be a TD or somebody running to be a European MEP, which is quite an important job as well because they make a lot of the directives for Ireland and for Europe, and they're making big promises, or you've got a government before those elections going back 4 weeks ago promising to get tough on immigration, which was the number one issue, and then as soon as the election's over, they don't get tough. Or as soon as the election's over... Well, and as soon as the election's over, you know, you've got, say, Ciarán Mullooly, who joins a completely different group, the same group that people would be against, which would be Fianna Fáil's group in the European Union, and not the ECR, which would be Conservative group, which would be more in line with what the party is promising the people. So, in other words, that's going against the voters,
Niall,
who voted for you.
There is no law against lying in this country. You can lie your ass off or tell mistruths. And, you know, this is what politicians can do and get away with it. So I don't blame the politicians.
I was, for example, canvassing. I had people coming up to me, say, in the square in Tala. And I remember one woman came up to me, for example, and she wanted to know, could she get a house for her daughter or a local, you know, it was a local issue, right? She needed housing for her daughter. Her daughter was on the housing list. And I was very honest with her. I said, look, I'm going to be honest with you. Obviously, I'm running for Europe. There's not a lot I can do about your local area. Who's your local politicians in the area, local councillors in the area? And I gave her a list of a couple of names. I took down her phone number. I passed it on to Independent Ireland to see if they had a local candidate in the area. Because I was honest with her. I told her, there's nothing I can do about that. That's not under my remit. Do you know what I mean? That's for a local councillor. And if more politicians did that, we'd have a better society. But stay there. But let me just go to Suzanne. Suzanne, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. I'm just listening avidly. And, you know, everybody's making really great points here. I suppose I'm just shocked. I really am shocked. I was shocked, first of all, when Michael McNamara defected. I was a big fan of his. I said it during the elections myself to loads of people. If Michael got in, he's a great voice. And then he just defects. So, when I saw that Ciarán Mullooly had done the same thing, I have to say I was shocked. Maybe I'm just a newbie in this sort of game to kind of take people, you know, for what they're saying. And just a point you made there, Niall, like, here's my take on it. Politicians go forward for a job at all levels. They're literally putting themselves forward. And the people, you know, in their constituencies or in Ireland, the vote is actually, it's like going for a job interview and saying what I can do. These are my skills. They actually get voted in. That's the interview. If you went to, you know, if you got interviewed for a role in any company in Ireland And a week in, you said, no, I'm not doing what I said I was going to do. You'd be fucked out the door. It's as simple as that. And yet we have this sort of nearly acceptance of no accountability that's creeping in Ireland all the time. And that really makes me really cross. One other thing I just want to add, you know, and I've said it on social media this week, and loads of people are saying it. If you're not on social media, you haven't a clue what's going on in Irish politics. Like, you really don't. And I think one of the guys there just said, like, Irish people are stupid. I don't actually think Irish people are stupid. I just think they just don't have the information. So if you're not on Twitter, if you're not following Gripped, if you're not following the media of the day, aside from mainstream news, you literally are in the dark. And that's the sad bit. They're in the dark. And the other thing, Niall, I'd say, like, people on this call today, are there any Ciarán Mullooly voters coming forward on this call? Like, it'd be interesting. Obviously, I was involved in another side of the campaigning for the European. But, you know, and I know what you stood for and what you said, and I was there all the time. But are there any Ciarán Mullooly voters? Probably not, because I'll tell you why. They're probably not on on Twitter. They probably don't listen to your show. They're probably oblivious at this stage because there's nothing nothing in the news about this, very quietly. But are they aware?
Well, there may be over the next few days, I imagine, when the mainstream media catch up on the rest. So for those who don't, just to clarify, right, for those who don't know, right, and John McGurk wrote an interesting piece in Grip Media yesterday in relation to Independent Ireland and Ciarán Mullooly. So Ciarán Mullooly was part of Independent Ireland, who don't have a whip system, it seems, right? But in saying that, when you see a candidate for Independent Ireland, be it an MEP or a local council candidate, or indeed going forward to the general election, you would assume they would stand for the same thing as Independent Ireland. Independent Ireland were quite strict. When I say they wanted a fair immigration policy, they obviously wanted a fair Green Deal, that it wouldn't affect, agriculture so much. That was a big thing for them as well. And then as well, they talked about, you know, there was, I think on numerous occasions, they were asked about gender ideology. And as far as they're concerned, as far as I believe most candidates in Independent Ireland are concerned, there are two genders, right? They don't buy into gender ideology. But then we have Ciarán will go and join a party called Renew, or a grouping called Renew in the European Union, that go against all of that. They're in favour of car-free streets. They're also in favour of the European Defence Union and abolishing the right of a national veto over EU defence policies. They're in favour of an emergency clause to authorise the European Union to act with emergency powers in a major crisis, in other words, take over from Ireland. They're in favour of embracing transgenerational and transnational diversity. They're not very strong when it comes to immigration. They're everything that those voters probably, and I say this to you, Steve, everything those voters didn't vote for them for, if you know, or do you understand the point I'm making?
So, yeah, Steve, I do. But
so you and by the way, just to clarify, there is groupings within the European Union, like the ECR, and the ECR are the Conservative Reformists. They would stand more with and line up more with, say, the party policy of Independent Ireland and what Ciarán Mullooly would have been out voting on. So for people, right, they see that as a bit of a U-turn.
Absolutely, I get that, and I understand that. But I want to say to that lady there, Suzanne. Okay, so Suzanne, it was me who called the Irish people stupid. And what I mean by calling them stupid is, you're right, they're voting with a lack of information. But who's to blame on that lack of information? I mean, who's the stupid one, the shepherd or the sheep?
But Suzanne has a point. But hang on. Suzanne has a point that not everybody, you know, is in tune with social media or on Twitter, which would
whose fault is that?
But hang on for a second. But the problem is they trust the national media and they trust the information being given. And
whose fault is that?
But you could laugh at that, and that's fair enough. But they do trust it. There are, say, older people who just watch 6-1 News and they believe that's the truth. That's the facts. There's no other side to the story, and that's it. Because they're told that that's the way it should be. You should trust that.
Yes.
We're learning, and a lot of us who are in tune, I suppose, of what's going on, are learning that the days of trusting, you know, RTE, Virgin Media One, News Talk, or whatever it happens to be, are over. You need to question and critically think everything.
Niall, hold on a second. This country, in the last couple of years, has gone through scandal after scandal after scandal. And the one thing that I've said about politicians are they are now bulletproof. These arseholes in power, Niall, know quite well that they can do anything they want and get away with it. We had a young child in Dublin City Centre stabbed, and nobody was held accountable for that. And they
There was a man charged with it.
No, I'm talking about the people in power.
Okay, yeah.
Absolutely. When our city.
So the point is, our Minister for Justice, where the streets are not safe anymore, or certainly people believe they're not safe, our Minister for Justice is still in power. Yeah.
And here's the thing. They laughed it off, Niall. They just shrugged it off. And they know, they like Donald Trump said, he could walk down Sunset Boulevard and shoot somebody and people would still vote for him. That's the exact same crap that's going on in this country. And that's the people's fault.
Yeah, sorry, Suzanne. You want to say something to Steve there?
Yeah, no, I totally, Steve, I'm just saying I agree with what you're saying there. But I think, going back to Niall's point, when you were saying, maybe it was you or the other guy, like, what could Niall do in the European position? I believe firmly that it's the voice. It's like, I think it's getting the message out because the platforms now are important. I'm on different groups. And look, I speak to loads of people. And, you know, I think the message has been this week, get people on social media, get people on Twitter. And I spoke to three people this morning about different things. And I'm saying, you need to get on Twitter. It's a terrible world. But it's not just Ireland. It's the same in the UK. It's the same in the US. It's a terrible world where we're being suppressed by mainstream news. But we are. You cannot believe anything mainstream
Can I just clarify for people, because I've just been handed a note here that I have 14 more people to get to in the next hour. But can I clarify for people? It's going to get a lot worse. And why it's going to get a lot worse is Commissioner Mann, who are the new BAI, so it's the Broadcasting Authority, up to this point have only had control over licensed media, i.e. the radio stations you hear on radio and television, right? But now Commissioner Mann believe in their little hearts that they have control over podcasting and they have control over any online media, which is all going to happen within the next year. And they will be all governed by the same guidelines of impartiality and everything else that radio and television is. And I am dreading that because that means that they can continue to do what they're doing on mainstream media, which is controlling speech and controlling narratives. In other words, that at the moment, I can bring on a guy and interview him tomorrow to say, for example, climate change is a load of bollocks. And I don't believe it's real, right? I can bring him on. No problem. It's my podcast, my business. I can do what I want. Nobody can complain about it. They can complain to me, but I just throw it in the bin, right? But once Commissioner Mann is in control of podcasting or online services or demand services, what will happen is people can then complain to Commissioner Mann and then I could get fined for that. In other words, they will have control over everything. And I think we're heading into a very dangerous territory.
And you know what, Niall? Here's the thing. The funny thing is we will protest en masse about paying for water. But when it comes to our freedom, we will not go out and do that. We won't see the likes of that protest, the water protest, ever again in this country. And people need to know why. It's because they are terrified. They're terrified of repercussions from the government, from the police. There's cameras everywhere. You can't organise a protest unless you're seen to be right-wing, racist, crazy. You know, people are terrified to go out and do these things. And they need to take that step forward. Somebody needs to lead the people of this country into an actual revolution.
Well, no, I don't obviously condone violence. I believe that protests can work if they're peaceful too, when you have enough people. And you mentioned the water protest, which was a classic example going back 8 years ago. Thank you for that, Suzanne. Stay there, Steve, with me as well, because I obviously want to keep some balance in this. I want to go to Jackie. Jackie, hi, how are you doing?
How's it going, Niall? How are you today?
Good. Jackie, I'm going to tell everyone to make it a little bit quick now because I have a heap of people to get through in the next half an hour. So, Jackie, should politicians lose their positions, be stripped of their titles, if they lie at the doorstep during elections?
Well, just listen to some of the things that have been said there by your previous speakers. I would have to say that you have to differentiate definitely by local, national and European politicians, because all we have heard down through, I said, since definitely in my time growing up, is actual lies, is people making promises. And the biggest buzzword here that we've got to remember, Niall, is the word control. We are all being controlled because there is lack of information. And we see that in Irish Rural Association, even on our own page. If somebody comes on, there's a certain amount of control. FB might move in and take away a comment or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this is the big problem.
Yep.
This is one of the biggest problems. Now, we do need to reform the whole political system in Ireland. But who's going to reform the political system in Ireland? Certainly not the people that are there at this point in time. And certainly not the people that are at any level in this country. you know, the ethics for public office, you know, the whole SIPO, the Standards for Public Commission, they have a pile high of complaints and stuff like that. But as you said, they have no teeth. But the problem here is, as well as that, people around the country do not have the information. And I think it was Steve that mentioned about, you know, whose fault it is. Yes, it is to a certain degree, but there are certain generations there that, as they say, turn on to the 6-1, read the Irish Independent, read the Sunday Independent, read whatever paper that's there that they get. And they see this and they think this is fact. Those of us that are online, those of us that are putting out the stuff there every day, are trying to inform people, whether it's from rural or urban, that's the biggest thing that we actually have to do. They are liars. But I mean, you're talking about the situation with Mullooly. Let's go back and have a look at Luke Min Flanagan. Prior to the election, for example, everybody on our page was absolutely giving out yards about Min Flanagan. What happens?
He gets elected. But they said the same about Maria. Look at Maria Walsh, for example. Every time she put up a post online, she was torn apart. People said, oh, I'm not voting for you. You did nothing last time. And yet she got elected again.
This is the problem, Niall. Why are people doing that? Because no matter what way we're going to look at it in this country, and it was already mentioned there that a TD or a local councillor or whatever could promise you the sun, moon and the stars, and it has happened in our circumstances. They could promise you the sun, moon and stars, and you go to a clinic or you go to one of their offices and say, oh, that's okay now, Jackie, I'll go to the Dáil now and I'll do A, B, C, D and E and F. Now, meanwhile, Jackie's watching them like a hawk and Jackie has a fair idea of what way and what's going to happen. So a vote comes up on a certain topic, be it agriculture, be it infrastructure, whatever it may be. And the TD that I've been talking to votes with the party whip. Yeah. And this is where the problem is lying. And we've seen it time in and time out again, time after time, where the people, the rural TDs, as we would call them, not the independents, but the rural TDs coming from the countryside of Ireland, have left the people of Ireland behind them.
But Jackie, you obviously you're living in rural Ireland, the farming community, by the way, as well. You've seen the amount of MEPs that got re-elected this time around who voted for the Nature Restoration Law. And many of them that go over will continue to vote for it. They won't want any. I mean, I would want that completely unwound. But here's the thing. They actually voted for it. And yet people in rural Ireland voted for these people who were destroying agriculture.
This is where I am, as a spokesperson for Irish Rural Association, completely frustrated by this. Because these people, do they actually realise the effect? And we'll just take the Nature Restoration Law. Do they actually realise how that is going to affect the people of the west of Ireland, the Midlands and all of the western seaboard? No, I don't think they do. But because they were told that they had to vote for them, or because a commissioner came along and said, well, if you don't vote this way, it might affect with the grouping you're in at the present. We've all got that documentation now. Mm. It's total bullshit.
Well, Jackie, can I ask you a question? Jackie, can I ask you a question? You know these phone scammers, they ring you up from some other country and they're trying to get your bank details. Let's say that somebody rang you up today and you actually fell for the scam and they scammed you out of a couple of €1,000. And a month or two later, somebody else rings you up and you fall for the scam again. And a couple of months later, you fall for the scam again. Who's to blame at that stage?
I am.
You.
I need to wake up, and this is the problem. That's what we're trying to do.
But Jackie, how do you wake people up? I mean, you know, I ran for election, obviously, and when I was out canvassing, everybody said the same thing to me. Oh yeah, vote for you, Niall. What, vote for those bastards again? I don't want them back in power. All this, and yet look what happened in Dublin. The same four parties went back to Europe again. Fianna Fáil, Labour, Sinn Féin, and Fine Gael all went back to Europe.
And whose fault is that?
The voters.
And let's just say the same thing happens for a general election when it's going to happen. And I do think, and we're watching the joint agricultural meeting yesterday evening, the general secretary kind of dropped a hint. And I would say it's going to be sooner rather than later. But the question, you have to beg the question, while at local level, at local elections, there was a good change, but you still see the main parties there. So is it the case then that come a general election, these people and these parties will get elected again? So who's to blame and who's to fault? Because definitely from where I'm going at, either as a lobbyist in this country or as a lobbyist or whatever I am, in whatever hat I'm wearing at that time, The person, I will say, if they come up and say to me, which is it, Jackie, now, this is an awful state of affairs and it's blah, 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 I will turn around and say, you voted them in, top shit.
But here's
the thing. Well, no, no. Can I also say, to be fair to the people too, the people can only go by the information they're being fed. And when you have a situation like, for example, and I'm not doing the poor me thing here, right? So please don't think I am. I wasn't allowed onto the RT primetime debate, even though I was polling third out of 23, right? So I should have been on it, right? It might have got me an extra 10,000 votes. It may not have. I don't know, right? So when the people are not being fed the information, Steve, and the correct information and shown the alternatives, there was lots of other people in that election that didn't feature in the primetime debate as well. The ones that were put in the primetime debate were the old reliables, the ones that already had the job, the sitting TDs, the ones we were used to seeing.
Niall,
so when you're not giving people the information, how do they have a choice?
That doesn't hold water. Sorry, that doesn't hold water because... Like I said, these people have been scammed already. So surely at this stage they should go, hold on a second. Fianna Fáil lied to me before. Yeah, I'm watching them on stage and they're promising me this again. And they're going to lie to me again. And they're going to lie to me again. And they're going to lie to me again. Niall, it is the people who are at fault. And I'd like to say there's two different types of people who are at fault here within the people. And that's the Oisins and the Saoirses who, you know, their mammies and daddies support them in every other way. And then, you know, they go out and they vote Fianna Fáil and Fianna Gael because that's the way mammy and daddy vote. And then there's the local Johnny and Mary in Ballyferma who are saying to you, Niall, I'll go out and vote for you, Niall, I'll go out and vote, but they're not even registered to vote.
Yeah, well, no, that is a very disappointing trait that I noticed through the election, that working class areas that really want change or need change have the lowest turnout in the polls.
And it's very frustrating, and I know exactly what people are saying about the media because I'm in my role as a lobbyist, I'm experiencing the same thing. I'm shut down. So therefore, what I have to go and do to try and get stuff out to local communities and rural communities is get that information, make sure that information is factual, and get it out to people. And that doesn't matter whether it's via Facebook, via WhatsApp, via phone calls, emails, or a hands-on meeting with people. That's what people are going to have to do, because not alone are we dealing with the politicians, lads, in this country, and the corruption, and that is a word that nobody wants to hear about or tells us we cannot mention. But we are also dealing with a huge quantity of NGOs, which are dictating the pace to government.
Well, $6.5 billion's worth of it. Yeah, I know. 36,000 of them.
These guys, Niall, have way, way too much power. And there's too many of them in it for the size of our country.
But we've just seen another big job being given there to Ibun Joseph yesterday as diversity manager for something or other. I've got to loads of people. Stay there, Jackie, for a second. Let me just go to John as well. John, back to the original question. Should politicians be stripped of their titles, be it MEPs, local councillors or TDs, if they intentionally lie at the front door?
Well, who's going to do it? Who's going to go after their head? I agree with Steve there for once. He's right. It's the people's fault. I mean, the people are not turning me out. And my section here in South Central and Cork, there was only 42% of the electorate came out. Right?
That was good.
And I mean, it's,
that's not a bad turnout, John.
Well, yeah, but
parts of Dublin was 26% or 28%.
Well, that's an absolute disgrace. I mean, because the very people that were probably shouting at you just to be seen, like engaging with, oh, no, you're look at him, your boy, and clapping you in the back, didn't bother the rascal and voting for you. They didn't vote at all.
Yep.
As you said, possibly not registered, right? No, I reckon there should be a recall system like that in some states in America, where you can get a referendum together on signatures and you can recall the local senator, you can recall the judge, you can recall the local sheriff even in some jurisdictions. And you should only be allowed 2 terms in the Dáil. You can only do 2 terms as president of this country, right, even though it's a waste of space, the office. But 2 terms. Micheál Martin is in politics since 1989. Andy Kenny was nearly 40 years in the Dáil. It just goes to show, if you hang around long enough like a bad smell, you'll get the job. I know he's off on a big pension and join himself where the rest of us are struggling, paying property tax on the house that I owned and didn't own the penny and busted my hole to pay for it. I now have to pay money on that house that I owned, which I shouldn't. So another traitor. And what was done about him? Absolutely nothing. Pat Robert was right when he said...
Brian Cowan, but Andy Kenny was probably one of the worst Taoiseachs we had, as far as I'm concerned. He never opened his mouth. Sure, he wouldn't even go on television or nothing.
He was useless in the debate, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, people had the option there. You have the Pat O'Toole's party, ain't you, right? They got in 8 councillors, right? Yes, The people know they're the only pro-life party in the country. There were 723,000 people voted against abortion. Where were those 723,000 votes during the local election? And where will they be in the next general election? So if that amount of people are pro-life voted for Ian too, for Christ, there's your political party. There's the deputies. How many TDs would they get into the Dáil then? But again, people won't get up off of that fucking hole.
Well, it's not even about getting out. So the ones that do get up off their hole, right, and they believe that, you know, the local MEP or councillor or TD, whatever is in the general election, they believe when he says, or they believe the government before the election when they say we're going to get tough on immigration, or we're going to do this, or we're going to change the laws around abortion, or whatever it is, John, you're interested in, and they tell you that, and then as soon as the election is over, they change again. And they don't bother doing all of that.
And
do we need to start bringing in sanctions? I like your idea of, by the way, two terms of office. That stops this career politician nonsense, right?
Yeah, completely.
And absolutely, I agree with you. But should we bring in some sort of sanctions whereby they lose their job or they lose their pension or they're fined or something? I don't know, anything to stop them from lying to us.
It came up earlier in the conversation there when you started about Labour Radical and the GP contract. If that happened in the private sector, we say there was a new contract being put together now for the radio show that you're involved in, right? And if they came up with new ideas that no one else had, and you leaked that to an opposing network, right? Your ass would be dust, man. If it happened in the private sector, you would find yourself inside in court. You'd probably lose your house and everything.
Well, you'd lose your job for sure.
Oh, yeah, and you would be blackballed within that industry, right? You would possibly never work there again. This man got away with it. It was absolute, what he done was treasonable against the Irish people.
Obviously, he denies that anyway. But okay, and by the way, that's still not over. That's still ongoing. And I know Paul Murphy brought that to the High Court there recently as well. And now now CIPA are going to reinvestigate or whatever it is. Anyway, so for the moment, we'll steer away from that. But in relation to generally breaking promises, I can give you another one, just one that would be close to your heart, John. Simon Harris, of course, when he was first being elected, sent a letter out to all his constituents saying that he was pro-life and that he would do everything in his power to make sure. And then, of course, he led the campaign for pro-choice.
He did, and so did Micheál Martin, and so did Liubar Arca to the PNC.
So should they lose their job then for doing that?
They should, of course. I mean, they're liars. Okay. They're betrayers and they're liars. But you see, as Steve said there, the problem is...
Are they liars or are they just people who change their minds?
No, but I mean, the thing is, like he mentioned the water protest there, which we started here on Cork, right? Why that worked, it was community-based, right? It was only people putting themselves forward, right, had the confidence to do it, right, and people came on board. That needs to happen again. People having enough confidence in themselves to say, we can change this. And if it means getting out in the street, if it means blocking up towns outside of the politicians' homes or whatever, I fully support that.
I don't mind the protests and blocking up the streets and all that, but me and you have always had this as a disagreement in relation to politicians' homes. I don't agree with protesting outside politicians' homes.
Well,
because they've got a wife and family there, or a husband and family there, whatever.
Don't turn up in a balaclava. I never wore a balaclava in my life. I don't have to hide my face.
I don't know how true all of it is, but some of the stuff that's gone on at the moment is a bit ridiculous threatening people.
Rather than trying to get these politicians on their lies, which would be rather difficult to do, why don't we simply just bring in performance reviews?
But maybe,
Steve, the thing is, Steve, who's going to bring it in, you see?
But we do have a demand in every election that a party and politicians running for election have a manifesto. Like, that's the first thing people say, where's your manifesto? And it's normally on their leaflet, right? You know, part of their manifesto, the headlines will be on their leaflet, right? And that's the proof, the living proof of what they're promising to do. Now, in 2 years' time, if they haven't achieved any of that and don't have good reason as to why they haven't achieved it, or have to show some sort of transparency as to how they made efforts to achieve that and haven't, and have maybe done the opposite, I think they should lose their job. Simple as that.
Well,
it's in writing. It's a promise in writing.
That comes down to performance review, because then you can get every single politician and not just groups. A politician isn't performing in his department, get him out.
Okay, hang on, let me go to Madeline.
Performing, it's a contract.
Madeline, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, good morning.
Good morning.
A lot of your speakers, or good afternoon, I should say, a lot of your speakers have covered, I agree with wholeheartedly with a lot of the stuff people are saying there. They should lose their jobs, without a doubt. But when you go into a store, you buy something, and the store person is telling you, this silver is never going to tarnish. It's never going to go black. It's going to last the rest of your life. You can pass it down to your grandkids. 2 months later, if the thing goes black, you're within your rights to return it to the store. And that's across the board with everything. Why are politicians exempt from, as that chap says, performance reviews?
Mm-hmm.
The whole political system would have to change, whereby I know they all have their mission statements and all, but they need to be coming back to the old days, coming to the door, talking to people, and hand their mission statements by bullet points, simplified, where people can read them and the ordinary people can tune in and see what they're doing and what they're not doing, because this is across the world now is ridiculous.
Why do you think it's getting... Madeline, why do you think this problem of politicians, you know, doing U-turns on promises they make, why do you think it's getting worse? It seems to be getting worse, certainly. Why do you think that's happening?
I know I keep going back to the same thing, but during the last few years, this whole scamdemic thing, the politicians were able to move into ivory towers and keep away from the people. They've had no accountability with anybody. They used to have clinics where people would go in and talk to these people. Sure, they had to put their posters up. Nobody knew who half the people were in the posters. There's no communication between communities and politicians anymore. And the last 4 years gave them that space to remove themselves, to put them into this, themselves into this elitist bracket, that they don't have to talk to the ordinary people on the street. They feel they don't have to account to the people on the street. That has to be all taken out of politics across the world. Politicians need to be back down with the boots on the ground, talking to the ordinary people, or this is just going to get worse and worse and worse.
And what role do the media play in all of that, do you think?
Well, the media at the moment, as we know, mainstream media are totally owned by the government. As you've seen, you weren't allowed to come onto the television. It's totally sewn up. And Suzanne said it earlier on there about people going on social media. The vast majority of people in this country haven't a clue what's going on. I won't say they're stupid. It'd be very easy to say people are stupid.
But I'm worried. I did say earlier on, I want to reiterate it again for people. I'm extremely worried about the future. The next year. Now, thankfully, Elon Musk has told Commissioner Mann to piss off, but that won't last long because Commissioner Mann have more power than Elon Musk when it comes to, because they have the European backing and the digital treaty behind them. And the problem is up to this point, you know, you can listen to this show where people are free to have their opinions within the law, obviously free to have their opinions. And we can present both sides of an argument or one side of an argument if we wanted, the other side that the media are not showing you. But that's not going to last. If Commissioner Mann have their way, that won't last.
No, and can I just say that's why I got behind your campaign and I got behind a local lad here, Ian Croft and Santry, because I saw the work they were doing. You were open to both sides of the debate. You didn't take a side and you made your own mind up and you agreed to get back in touch with people if you got into Europe, which is an awful shame you didn't. But for somebody to take the vote, this has to be criminal, to take a vote off a citizen on a street, promise you something and then do a complete U-turn. That has to be criminal because you've literally stolen something from the person on the street. You've literally stolen it. And the media here, shame on them because they have blindfolded and they have gagged people here. And the whole scamdemic of COVID was the baby steps into all the shit we're seeing now. And people really do need to wake up. And as the previous gentleman says, it will take everybody getting out on the street, blocking roads and blocking the main arteries into the city to make the government sit up and take note. And thank God, I won't use the term far right anymore, but thank God right-wing governments seem to be making moves into the right positions across Europe. And the only way we can do it are the people like us on the street that are sick talking about this, to keep talking to people, to try and get them to wake up and see what's happening. Otherwise, our country is lost.
Okay, listen, Madeline, thank you very much indeed for that. Brida, hi, how are you? Sorry for keeping you so long. I do apologise. And I apologise to Peter. I'm going to come to him in a second, and Tommy as well. Okay, Brida, just in relation to what I said earlier on, you know, we're seeing a lot of politicians, and we will see after the general election again, you know, promises made to people to get your votes in an election, and then completely doing a U-turn and going in the opposite direction. Madeline believes it's theft. You're stealing people's votes. But should there be sanctions?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if I do something wrong in my job, I'll be called over the cold so fast I won't be able to blink. You know, I'm sick to death of all since the last 4 years or so. I mean, all the crap we had to go through in the lockdowns and everything else, you know, like I personally was put on 30% pay. Not one politician even made a little whimper about the whole thing. You know, like we were all just left to the wolves and let's see, you know, with law, the dust will settle kind of thing. My daughter is she's heading for 24 and she despairs of this country. She just doesn't see.
Does she understand the politics the way you would of this country?
I explained things to her. I mean, when we had the referendum, she didn't really understand what it was about. So I sat down and explained it all to her. And I said, now go on and do your homework a little bit as well. And I said, and tell your friends what this is all about. Because I said, this is going to have huge repercussions going down the road if this is voted in. And like she was flabbergasted because she had a completely different read on it to what it was actually all about.
Yeah.
So she did go and tell her friends and stuff. You know, the problem is, as you said, mainstream media, you know, they put out, they'll only put out what they want the people to hear. And like years ago, my dad was a Fianna Fáil man. That was it. He didn't vote for anybody else. My uncle, Jim Lord Emerson, was a Fine Gael man. And there used to be some interesting conversations between the two of them. But they were staunch Fianna Fáil and Fianna Gael people.
Yeah.
Like,
my dad was the same. My dad was Fianna Fáil. And as I said a while ago, you know, Fianna Fáil could blow up the country tomorrow. My dad would still vote for them.
Yeah, and mine the same, you know. And like there was no kind of, let's see what the ethos is, let's what it's all about.
No, just vote for them.
Yeah, this time in the local elections, we have a couple of very good councillors here in the town. And they did do very well, and I gave them my vote. After that, the only people I voted for were independents in Europe. I didn't give any of the parties a vote this time. I didn't know who these people were now.
Yeah, but look, but look what happened in Dublin. All the parties, all four parties, got back into Europe again.
I know, but you look at Nina Carberry getting in our constituency.
Yeah, but how did that even happen? She's a jockey, right? With the greatest respect, I know I'm a talk show host. But she didn't do any interviews. She did no press whatsoever. She wasn't on the television or being interviewed. We don't even know what she stood for. And yet she got elected.
No. Yeah.
What the hell was that about?
She didn't get my vote. She didn't get my vote, I can tell you.
Who did you vote for?
I voted for the independents. They're the only people that got my vote.
Okay, no, but in Europe, who did you give your number one to? I'm just curious.
Okay. I was an independent, Niall. I can't remember who it was.
Okay, that's fine.
I didn't give the parties got no votes from me. And the only people in local elections that got votes for me were two people here in the town that have done a huge amount of work for the
Yeah, well, that's good. But that's what local elections are all about, yeah.
Yeah, and they got my vote. And after that, then, there was other people for local elections. I didn't know who they were. They never darkened my door. Like, I know I'm away a bit and whatever, but I'm here as much as I'm away. And the only people that came to the door were the two people that I knew from the local elections. Never saw another sinner after that. You know?
Okay, yeah. I mean, but it is shocking, some of the things that particularly the bigger parties turned around and said, you know, that they promised, you know, they would do this, or promised they'd take a hard line on immigration, or they promised this, they promised that. And then they didn't do it, and they're not going to do it either.
Sure. And they won't do it. And then there's going to be an election now in the next few months, and they're going to come to my door, and they're going to go, oh, yeah, oh, no, we're going to come down and emigration. Yaddy, yaddy, friggin' yeah.
Yeah, we're going to build loads of houses, yeah. And they lie to you. You know, they might as well say we're building a million houses as building 250,000 or whatever, because they're not going to build them. Should there be sanctions? Just quickly, should there be sanctions?
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't do your job, you get sacked. It's the same in any job, and they're doing a job to the people of this country. That's what they're elected for. We're not electing them to have a big wage and a nice big pension at the end of their retirement. We want them to come in and resolve the problems that we have, as in emigration, as in housing. And if you're not going to do what you said you should do, out the door you go. Let's do what they did in Greenland, in Iceland. They got rid of all politicians and put in normal people, bankers, economists, whatever else. Let's get rid of them all and do that, and let's see how we get on there.
Okay, I mean, not a bad idea. Thank you, Peter, for that. Let me go to Peter Dooley, who was from the Dublin Renters Union, who also ran for a local election as well in Dublin South. Peter, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, Al.
Good afternoon. Again, sorry you didn't get elected, but look, you should have. You're a good man. Peter, look, okay, so politicians will make promises they break. We know that. But when they blatantly lie or do U-turns, what should happen?
Well, listen, the basic tenet in any democracy is the power of recall, isn't it, Noel? Like, you should be recalled to the electorate who elected you if you go and do a U-turn. Like, yeah. I think they've done so many U-turns, I think they're getting dizzy at this stage. Like, how many cycles do we have to repeat of the same cycles again of politicians selling out to people all the time?
Yeah.
Time and time again. And what this is breeding into is more apathy. But I think I'd actually look at it from a different point of view. I think you have to start building hope in Ireland. You have to start building.
I've been listening to that for the last 20 years on radio. Oh, it's coming. The change is coming. You heard Maliki seeing somebody got elected. And but no disrespect to Maliki. He said the revolution is on the way. Where? When's the revolution on the way?
I think it will. When? I think something will happen. I guarantee it. I've been looking at it, right? Obviously, I'm disappointed, obviously, for my own not getting elected as well. But, like, you know, that's only part of the process. If you look at what's been happening the last few months with the referendum results and the way people have had enough of the political establishment. But necessarily, I think a lot of apathy is infused into the system. People feel like, oh, what's the point in voting? They're all the same. And a lot of people vote with their own interests as well, class interests. They'll vote Fine Gael, they'll vote Fianna Fáil, no matter what the hell they do. And that's just the way it is. They're probably doing all right in society, money-wise. They're probably part of the professional classes, part of the higher-up in the civil service and public service that are benefiting quite nicely from what's going on in Ireland as well and don't really want to rock the boat. And then there's a lot of people who are completely disenfranchised, who have had enough. And necessarily by voting for some independents in the last election, they probably saw a way out. And now what's happened with some of these independents is that they've done U-turns. Typically, when they got into any positions of power, we saw it with the European elections. We've seen it previously in Ireland for years and years with independents. Going under this premise of independents who have been Fine Gael in disguise or Fianna Fáil in disguise. What we really need to show, I think, but it's showing alternative. Okay.
Yeah, but if there's a change coming and the revolution is coming and all that kind of stuff, why were you not elected? Why was I not elected? Why wasn't that change? Okay, there was some change in local councils. I can see that. Although Fine Gael still did quite well. Why is that change not happening? Why are we not seeing it? We've seen it in the referendum. That was a great result in the referendum. That was 70% of the population who voted turning against the establishment, turning against the government, turning against everybody who told them to vote yes, voting no. That was wonderful to see. And I really thought that was going to be replicated both in the European and local elections, but it wasn't. And it's not going to get replicated in the general election. And when I look on Boyle Sports and I see the voting and the odds for the general election, and third down is a Sinn Féin, Labour, People Before Profit, Social Democrats government. I worry for this country. Because if that happens, I'm leaving. This country is absolutely fucked if that happens. And I'm just going to say it straight out. It is fucked if that happens.
Well, I think we're in a bad enough place at the moment, the way it's going, without any alternative coming in, because they're all the same. They're essentially all the same. What really happened for me and even the local elections is that there was an independent Ireland candidate that ran about a few weeks out and probably took votes away from my candidacy probably as well. And there wasn't enough of organisation in terms of a proper opposition in Ireland, I think. And that's what needs to come out of this, I think, a proper organised opposition. Mm. And it's led by ordinary people that will deliver the change for ordinary people based on the principles. As I've always stood up for basic needs in society, where people have a right to a home, a health service and dignified existence. Plus, our rights are vitally important. And that's where you've been very strong on, Niall, in terms of standing up for our rights. And I appreciate and have to respect you for that point of view. At least you went out and actually stood up for something you believed in, and I respect you from that point of view. And like myself as well, I wouldn't have the money behind me. I didn't have any big finances.
I've said this before about people and politicians, right? I don't agree with you, Peter, right? There's a lot of things we don't agree on, right? Because we've different views of life, right? But I have a huge amount of respect for you because I think you stand up for what you believe in and you do it quite well. And the other great thing about you is you're respectful of other people's views, even when they have a go at you. So, and I've had a go at you many times over the years. So we respect each other's views, but that's what politics is about. It's about, you know, respecting other people's views and then coming to a happy medium in the middle somewhere where we can all agree in the best interest of the population of the country. So when people come to your front door and they tell you, this is what I'm running on, this is the ticket I'm running on, I'm running on immigration, I'm running on housing, I'm running on this, and there it is, it's in our manifesto, there it is there in black and white. And then they go off and they join a grouping, or in Europe maybe, or they join a party, or, you know, they switch parties within in the general election to something that's completely the opposite of what you just voted for them on. There has to be a sanction on that.
Well, absolutely. It should be criminal. Like, it has to be a power recall. As I said, they should be brought back to the people. In a democracy, that's the way it should work. If somebody says to you, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and they do the complete opposite, without not even a wet day in their position, and what immediately springs to mind? You've been sold out. Oh, they're all the same. And that's immediately what springs to mind. They're not opposition. They're not real opposition. Like Ciarán Mullooly, for instance, an ex-RTE hack. That's what he was. Like, in all due respect.
Yeah, but Ciarán ran.
He ran for Fine Gael.
He ran an independent Ireland. And judging by their manifesto, I know that because I was with them, I'm not connected to them anymore. Judging by their manifesto, he should have joined the ECR grouping in Europe because they're conservative reformists, right? So that's where he would have been most suited. But instead, he joins a grouping, you know, that's directly connected to Fianna Fáil that goes against almost everything that Independent Ireland would have run for. I know they don't have a whip system, but that just doesn't make any sense. So if the voters had have known that, would they have voted for him? A lot of them may not have. You know what I mean?
Well, an opportunistic ex-RTA establishment hack. That's what he is. An opportunity. Just using
probably. Well, you could argue the same at me. I was an opportunist. Classic hits radio talk show host.
I'll be different with yourself now, because at the end of the day, like, I know I respectfully disagree with you on loads of issues around housing and loads of stuff over the years, and I respect you because you're one broadcaster that has those debates, and actually you've stood up for issues around the hate speech bill, issues around lockdowns, these issues are, as well, that has impacted working class people and ordinary people most of all, and our rights and our freedoms are vitally important.
Okay, well do me a favour, stay there, because I've still another 10 people to get to. Stay with me, Peter, because I want you to stay there. Morris, hi, how are you doing?
Niall, how are you doing? Listen, it's a great show today, but can I just do one thing? I'd like to send my condolences to the family in Canada whose loved one was killed on the streets of Dublin.
Yeah.
That man came to Ireland on a plane for a holiday and was going home in a coffin. What a horrible country and city we live in.
Yeah.
Deep condolences to the Canadian family, okay?
And I hope justice is served against the individual that did it.
Please God.
Yeah.
Please God. Get them all. Get every one of them that's responsible for taking that man's life. According to politicians, listen, it's like you said, your father was staunch Fianna Fáil, my father was staunch Fianna Fáil. And why do you think that was? Fianna Fáil, the Republican Party. They've lied to us for years. Kieran Mullooly is at a falling into the same trap. He don't tell the people what they want to hear, and then he goes and does the opposite. One of the things that's been pointed out to me since they all went back to Europe, they get €300 a day expenses on top of the money they're already on.
Yeah, they sign in. Okay. I clarify this to people. And by the way, I've always said to people, when people ask me about the salaries in Europe, the European Union job, the MEP, it was a really good job. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
You know, it was good money. It was a good job. But I genuinely wanted the job for the right reasons. But yes, there have been questions asked over the years in relation to, not only do they get paid a really good salary of 120,000, they also get 5,000 a month in expenses, unvouched.
Yeah,
and not only that, when they arrive every morning and sign in, they physically have to sign in the Parliament, they get £350, I think it is, cash for their expenses every day. Yeah.
Every day. That's £1,500, Niall, just for expenses.
If you turn up every day.
For 5 days' work.
Yeah.
You know, so, listen, it's a gravy train. I think the people that he represented, the Independent Ireland, they're going to have a look or have a chat with him. Did he go with what they wanted to do? No. If not, expel him from the party. Let him be an independent. Because he's made for the next 5 years. He's going to pull 100,000 a year. He's out in 5 years. He has a £500,000. And he's RTE pension. Who pays the pension? Taxpayers of Ireland.
Okay, so you don't agree that people should be allowed to turn a corner once they get elected. In other words, they must stick to the promises they made, or stick. Well, he'll argue, for example, in Kieran Mullooly's case, that he is going to, that he's going to be part of a grouping, and he'll object to those things the grouping says that he doesn't agree with. Although I think that would be very difficult. I think there would have been other groupings more suited to what the party allegedly stands for. Okay, so Morris, generally speaking, politicians should be sanctions.
Yeah, if you tell lies to the people and you're caught out, you should pay for it with your job. End of story. Fall in your sword.
Okay, thanks for that, Morris. Let me go to Tommy. Tommy, hi, how are you?
How are you doing, Noel? How's it going?
Good. Tommy, do you believe the politicians, if they go against what they promise, should they be booted out?
Well, for starters, what do you define as a promise? Are you saying a manifesto or talking to you at the door?
Well, I suppose a manifesto is a written word of what they say to you at the front door, isn't it, usually?
Well, start of all, the politicians are only held accountable by the media. And partly, the problem in this country is that the media is left the centre and it's more concerned about advertising than holding people to power accountable. There's obviously a conflict of interest. That's why they're reneging all the time. The conflict of interest is there's too much money regarding salaries. There should be a salary cap introduced. Also a term, 8 years, wouldn't bother me at all.
Yeah, but John made the point. Yeah, I would say 2 terms in office and that's it, you're done. You can't do any more.
Yeah, exactly. Renege, look, Michael Collins renege. The politicians are going to renege. And they also have, you can't change their mind except for a manifesto. But I find the real issue is that there's no opposition to centre or left of centre politics left in this country. There is no conservative. There's no. I can't think of a conservative.
Ain't
you?
Ain't you a conservative?
Are you?
Ain't you?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, true. Look, but there's not enough people. There's not enough conservative morals. Our people are afraid to project their conservative morals. Like, there's no politicians really talking about abortion. There's no politicians coming out and saying, "Look, I don't think it's a great idea that because they're going to be introducing trans ideology into schools." With the gender ideology, race ideology, we're going to be teaching kids, oh, you will have to treat people different instead of telling them, treat everyone the same. You don't have to worry about any of that crap. Mm. That's where we're going. And it's going to swing, but it's going to swing back eventually. It's going to take time. You see in Canada, you see in France, you see in the UK, and we're going to see in America that people are swinging back to conservative ideas. The last 20 years, the experiment of liberalism is coming to an end. And it's funded mainly by advertising. And unfortunately, mainstream media has always been left of center. And the mainstream media have such a great responsibility, including ourselves. If you think of what reporters have done in the past, including ourselves, they brought down Nixon. They bring down governments when they employ. Once they're willing to tell the truth and stand on it, instead of just worrying about being fourth or upsetting the advertisers.
See, I don't want to see the media going to the right either. I want to see the media in the center. I want to see the media being fair.
No, hold on. You can have both. But what I'm saying, there's no media on the...
I want the media to tell the truth is what I want the media to do for a change.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah, yeah of course. I'm talking about politicians being on the right. They've got just no one on the right.
Yeah.
And any time anyone that has conservative values talks about it or even goes out and protests, they're either homophobic, racist, or transphobic.
I mean, are RTE going to run a documentary now in the next 3 or 4 weeks saying that, by the way, the scientists last year got it all wrong. This hasn't been the warmest year so far in history. We aren't burning up in the middle of the summer. It's now, whatever, 14 degrees outside and it's raining and pissy. Are RTE going to run a documentary and say, oh, we got it wrong? No, they won't. They'll continue to run another documentary with Paul Little and his gang, who made the last documentary, saying Ireland will be underwater in 10 years or something stupid like that, well, or 20 years or 30 years.
Maybe we should get rid of the TV license if they're going to be... I haven't paid it.
So I wouldn't.
Niall.
So hang on, Tommy. Yeah, Peter, what are you trying to say, Tommy, there?
Yeah, just come in for a second there. Just on the point Tommy was taking about moving to the right and all this sort of stuff. Like, all these labels are completely unhelpful in the move to right, move to left. Like, people could be socially right or socially left, whatever way they want to look at themselves, and economically right or economically left. Like, these labels play into the narrative that put people in boxes. We need to move beyond putting people in boxes and labels that people... Like, I think the important thing is to put ordinary people that have genuine issues and genuine concerns the way Ireland's going. Like, I'd have issues around housing, health service and all those, and then your basic freedoms as an individual are vitally important to uphold within that structure as well.
Listen, the only reason I say I'm right to centre is because I don't want to have a conversation about 10 different things to say that I have conservative values. So I just say I'm conservative or I'm right to centre. Then they know.
But the problem, I suppose, Peter is making is when you put labels on people, labels have been used over the last 2 years to shut you up, Tommy. You know, and shut me up, for example, as well. They say, oh, he's that right-wing broadcaster. Let's not listen to him. You know what I mean?
Silence yourself, Noel. Remember that lady called you racist on the TV? You folded like a dick there.
I didn't. No, I didn't. You didn't watch the whole thing. You only watched the clip that was put up by one individual. Go onto YouTube and watch the whole thing.
Give me one example.
Yeah, Tommy, I won't take that off you. What you did is you watched a clip that was put up by one individual online to piss me off. Go and watch the whole thing. I wasn't silenced.
The clip I've seen is...
Yeah, the clip you've seen. Yeah, watch the whole thing. I was on with her for about a half an hour. Watch the whole thing.
Yeah, well, okay. I'll watch it again. I'll see the benefit.
Yeah. Yeah, this is when I was talking to Ebun Joseph when she referred to me as a racist.
Oh, well, she's a clown.
Well, she was referring to me as a racist just because I said there was people abusing the system. Anyway, sorry, Tommy. I have a load of people to get to. Sorry, Tommy. I'm not trying to cut people short. Peter as well. Thank you very much indeed, Peter and Tommy. Let me go to Maureen. Maureen, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Maureen, what do you want to say?
Well, as far as these politicians are concerned, we're not going to get them out even by voting because there's always going to be the stragglers that are going to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look back into Seirstadt Éireann in the 1922 constitution, there was one word in that constitution, and it was that all was made up of constituents, because that constitution gave people the power, gave them direct democracy. Of course, that's removed then, because when Breitbart saw that and said, oops, the people hold the power. They can tell us go if they want to. So they removed that from on Bunrock to 1937. And if you look at the Blue Book, there are some even worse changes than that. But the independents, I seem to have been gone rogue now as well.
Yeah.
And they did exactly what I knew they would. And I was warning people about the independents as well. You can't trust them. Not even Michael Collins, none of them.
Well, why can't you trust Michael Collins, Independent Ireland, Ain't You, Powder Tobin, the smaller parties? Why do you think you can't trust them?
Because they'll all fall into bed with whatever is happening. They all sat in the Dáil there.
Well, then we're in a sad state of affairs if we can't trust anybody.
Well, you can, but you can't. I can't. I don't trust them. I've been watching
But Maureen, going forward, we have to trust somebody.
A nationalist. Nationalist Party now, the only one I would trust at this point.
Mm. Like who? Who? The Irish Freedom Party? Who? The Irish Freedom Party?
Yeah, and plus, they voted for the Restoration Law, which is passed too in the EU. So that means now the prime land here as well, they want to flood the bogs, and they're going to start growing forests. So that's going to cut back.
I know,
food from farmers.
Okay, I'm well aware that the Nature Restoration Law, they shouldn't have voted for it. I'm well aware of it.
They shouldn't have, of course they shouldn't, but they did. And they'll vote everything in just to keep their seats. Whereas if we functioned under direct democracy, if they didn't do the job that we wanted them to do, we could get them out. We don't, we're under indirect. Which means they can go in and they can do as they please, and it doesn't matter what they promise you at the door and what you say to them. They are safe because they now hold the power because that power was taken in 1922 when they started looking at the constitution and some bright spark saw, oops, we've given the people the power here. So that was removed.
So you don't believe the people have the power anymore. Stay there for a second, Maureen. Let me go to Ryan, who was one of the younger candidates. Sadly, didn't get elected this time around from Clane LEA. Ryan, hi, how are you?
How are you keeping, Niall? How's the farm?
Good, good. Yeah, keep the cowboy. Don't send the cowboys back to Europe. That's the line I remember hearing you shouting. Yeah.
Unfortunately, that didn't happen. Look, Niall, as I said, as one of the youngest candidates for Independent Ireland in the elections, you know, to see the move Ciarán Mullooly made was very disheartening because I don't believe it's what the party stands for and what the rest of the candidates stand for, in my honest opinion. Like, look, Niall, I've said it to you on multiple occasions when I was out helping yourself canvassing that the issue is with this country and this political system is we keep sending the wrong people to Europe. That's the main place for policy making. And we also keep putting in daisy pushers. And that's what's happening. Daisy pushers. We have 70 and 80 year old men making decisions. Times have changed since then and they need to retire. When you see a 65 year old man working that has worked all his life and has made take his retirement, why isn't the politicians doing the same?
Okay, John suggested earlier on the politicians should have no more than two terms of office. I don't disagree with him. I think it's probably a good idea.
Like, I think so. I think two terms is because times are constantly changing, you know what I mean? And as I said, look, this was a bad move for the party, but I have to say myself as for Kildare and all that there and the people that I've stuck to my promise. I've continued to help the people falling tree in Kildare and fighting the establishment for them and the council. But as I've said, I just think there's a lot more questions that has to be answered within the party and a decision has to be made for the future of Independent Ireland.
But why would the party have their MEP align with a group that also aligns with Fianna Fáil, that aligns with a lot of the stuff that it would be assumed, and also through their manifesto of Independent Ireland, the party would have been against in the first place and asked people to vote on. It doesn't make a huge amount of sense. For example, you know, Renew, when you look at the policies in their manifesto of Renew, you know, they want to remove all obstacles to an inclusive society embracing transgenderism. They also want car-free streets. They also want to abolish Ireland's veto over all of the areas of EU's policymaking. They want emergency clauses to authorise the European Union to act on our behalf with emergency powers in crisis. There is so much that they, like, that group represents that completely would go against the manifesto and the policies of Independent Ireland. And yet, their European MEP, Ciarán Mullooly, has joined that group. It would have been more in line with him to join, say, the ECR, which would be a Conservative group. And, you know, there has been head cases involved in the ECR in the past, but that doesn't mean they're a bad group. There's head cases involved in every political grouping and party. So they would be more in line and in tune with what the voters who voted for Ciarán and voted for Independent Ireland and their candidates in the LEAs, that would be more in line with what they're voted for. So why would you do that?
Like, most definitely, like, I just think that with the no party whip system in this move, I think that had a lot to play within that role. Now, obviously, I you know what I mean, I can't speak for that decision. You know what I mean? It was me who made that decision.
Of course not. Yeah,
To run in that. But as I turned around and said, like, when I first joined Independent Ireland, my first thing was that the people of this country need change, and we need to be that change to deliver.
And I agree with you, and I think Independent Ireland is a good party. I do believe their intentions are right and are good. But when you join a group like Renew within the European Union, that's not change. That's more of the same.
I think it was a very selfish act on Ciarán Mullooly, and this is just my own personal opinion. I think from the very get-go, he was a bad choose of a candidate to run for Europe and to run for Independent Ireland, in my honest opinion, because he never really aligned with the party.
He would have been more suited to run with Fianna Fáil or something like that. But by the way, it's not just him. Michael McNamara, who I have a huge amount of time for, is a really nice guy, and I know Michael well, and I have a lot of time for him. But, you know, Michael also joined the grouping. And I'm surprised at that, because that's not the ticket he was running on. Do you know what I mean? That surprises me too. And so what I'm saying to you is, when politicians make decisions, and leaving those two aside, when any politician comes to your door and asks for your vote, which is a very valuable thing, and says, if you give me your vote, I'll do this, and I'm going to run on this. This is my ticket. Like, this is my manifesto. This is my policies. And they do something which seems to be, or comes across as, the complete opposite. Surely that then their seat should be withdrawn from them.
Yeah, definitely. Like, as I know from my own experience, going around promising and promising people, like, to get for votes and that. You know, now, as I've always said, the only thing I think I promised was for a speed ramp. That was the only promise I made. But as I've said, with the promises, when politicians make promises, the first mistake you make as a politician is make a promise. Because realistically, unless you're in that power seat to do so, to make the real difference, to make the real change, you're only lying to win the votes. And this is a prime example of what happened here. You know, Ciarán Mullooly ran off that back, and he didn't do it. You know what I mean? But not saying now that he is sitting at the table, that he might have more of a say in change making and policy making when it comes from Europe. He'll be able to object.
Judging by Twitter and social media, his decision has not gone down very well.
Oh, of course not. No.
Okay, well, thank you for that, Ryan, and best of luck in the future to you, Ryan, and I'm sure we'll talk again very soon. Lovely guy, by the way. Andy. Hi, Andy. How are you doing?
How are you, Noel? How's things?
Good, Andy. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to rush everybody now to 2 minutes each.
Brilliant. Yeah, to be honest with you, I think everyone that I was hoping to say was going to say with Maureen there anyway. But, of course you have to have accountability. And it's basically fraud to election with the intergovernment and to have them go back on their promises. I mean, you don't have the legal framework there to call it fraud, but it's deceptive.
Yeah.
It's nothing short of deceptive. There has to be accountability. I mean, if the people don't have the choice to run their country, the masses, then you're leaving. It's a dictatorship, really. Like, it's a clandestine dictatorship.
Yeah. Do you think it's ever going to change?
We can change it.
Oh, I've heard that before.
We can change it. Of course, we can change it.
How? I've heard that before.
Well, it's the same Maureen said there. Go back to the original constitution, the one that we voted for, the one that the people voted for, the democratically elected constitution of Éireann, Unreacht na hÉireann, not the blue book. Scrap that. That's a lie. That whole thing is farcical. It's nonsense. And it's basically, the country's been run on ignorance. The people who are in power now maintain power through ignorance. If people knew about Bunrack, if they knew about the statutes and the articles and all that, I've only just started becoming aware of it myself. I'm sitting down here on my lunch break with me.
Yeah, but explain to me the ignorant on this, right? But explain to me how we get that back, or how we change that.
Okay, well, if we have a tyrannical government in place, how do you get rid of a tyrannical government?
Well, revolution is the only way.
And revolution. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, well, I don't want to encourage that either. You know what I mean?
If I don't want to encourage it either, but if they're not going to, if we have an illegal, tyrannical government in place and they're not willing to vacate the position, I think it's time to raise up and take it back.
So you're saying, well, I would say peaceful street protest, but you're saying protest.
That's been completely ignored and that's been shut down as we've seen.
Well, no, it's only ignored because they're pissy little protests, Andy. Because most of the protests we've seen, in the big scheme of things, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 people is useless. You need 100,000.
Yeah, exactly. This is where the ignorance part comes into it. We need education. We need people to study and to know and to get the message out there. But of course, our message has been silenced. We don't get media coverage. The RTE, as we know, is a nothing short of a state propaganda machine. They're not going to willingly hand over their power. They've started recruiting in guards from the UK because the guards don't even want to have a. What I can see is they've.
They can't get guards to join the Irish Garda Church.
They can't get yeah, exactly, and that's where we have Drew Harris in place there. You know, he's handpicked for that job because he's not with us. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, listen, Andy, thank you for that. Sorry for cutting everybody a little bit short. I do apologise, Jackie. Hi, how are you doing, Jackie?
Hi, maybe I'm wrong in this, but I don't think it's written in stone that he's joined or that he's. Signed up. I thought this was only being discussed.
No, I think he has. I think he's accepted the invitation. Yeah.
Right. No, because I was talking to someone there only an hour ago, and that's what I was told. And that he wasn't that it wasn't written in stone. And I was surprised at Michael McNamara.
Yeah, that even surprises me too.
Yeah, but there must be a reason because I'm sure he sat down and he's kind of.
Well, the point is, it's not going down well online, Jackie, is it?
I know. It's not, but everyone, and this is what I was saying, I won't say who I was saying it to, but I was just talking to someone an hour ago, and what I was saying is that everyone is so uptight because they're finding that who do you vote for? You're left in limbo, and if Independent Ireland go down a certain route, well, then everyone is going to be seriously upset because where do you go after that? But I think what people should do is just relax a bit and just wait until everything, whatever is confirmed or that it is written and so on. But from my understanding, it's not. And look, if a politician or whoever comes out and says they're going to do this, that, and the other, they should be held accountable. That if they don't do it, well, that's false.
Yeah.
Lying, you know, and should be regarded as that.
Well, if you or anybody, and I'm not talking about individuals here, but if anybody tells somebody on the front door or in a, you know, manifesto or a policy that this is our plan, this is what we want to do, and then they go and do the complete opposite or do something that seems to be, for all intents and purposes, the complete opposite, there should be ramifications because you've stolen votes. Yeah. You've essentially stolen a vote.
Yeah. Yeah.
Under false pretenses.
And we have, I know I said this before, we have a power plant going up in Portumna and everyone was told that the local councillors, whatever, were told that it was all solar and all that. And now it turns out it wasn't. And now people are asking the question, well, did the councillors tell the truth or the TDs tell the truth or whoever?
Yeah.
Now the questions are kind of coming in fast and furious that who do you think?
Yeah, but do you think somebody mentioned earlier on, even the best intentions, even politicians or new people with the best intentions of change, they all end up being corrupt. You know, that old line, politics corrupts. Do you think they all end up being corrupt and I'll just join in the party and I'll just go along with the flow because it's easier to do it that way?
I honestly think that there are good people in the Dáil still that are there for years and years. And from talking to some of them, they're so frustrated with the systems that are in place and the civil servants that are there and that they just can't get certain things across the line. And I know even with ministers, they have serious rows trying to get the civil servants to do what they want because...
Absolute power corrupts absolutely, doesn't it? That's what they say.
Yeah. Well, you see, again, people, I think, go in with the right reason, you know, the right ideas, the right, everything is right. But then when they get into it and they're blocked and you end up with the county councils the people that are in that, no, we can't do this. And then you have the civil servants, no, we can't do that. And that, and it becomes totally and utterly frustrating.
I mean, when you have people who voted, say, for Independent Ireland in this case, and assuming that it is correct, and I believe it is, by the way, because it's been written in the media, it was in Grip Media there yesterday too. I do believe it is confirmed, but I mean, we'll leave it at that for the moment. But when you have a situation where you've independent decision to align in the European Parliament with the Renew Group, which basically is a group of MEPs, which includes, amongst others, the MEPs of Fianna Fáil. So there you have your voters saying, you know, we're voting against the establishment, but then we're voting you in to play with the establishment, you know, to jump in bed with the establishment. That doesn't make sense, does it?
But where does he go? And again...
Well, the ECR is a Conservative. They would be more in line with the policies of Independent Ireland.
But is that possible? Because maybe it's not. Maybe he has gone down that route. And
I know. I think it's possible. I think it would be possible. Of course it would. The ECR are looking for people to join that grouping to make the grouping bigger and more powerful. Of course they are.
Yeah. I'm watching Twitter and Jesus, the amount of backlash against Independent Ireland. But I'd be just saying...
And by the way, that's not a good thing either, because I do believe they have the best intentions, by the way.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, no, absolutely. 100%. No, I do believe they're a good party with the best intentions. I just think they're a new party and they kind of need to get their shit together, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, again, as I say, I'd say, look, relax and just see, wait till it's completely and utterly confirmed, because people are jumping up and down and we don't really know what, as such.
Okay, well, the media are reporting it as well, so I doubt it. I mean, yeah, it was on RT News yesterday, actually.
Yeah, but you see, you can understand why the media is going on the back of this. Sure, it's ideal for them to be knocking other parties that are... They won't be knocking Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil or Sinn Féin or whatever.
No, but this is true. We haven't heard Diddley from those. They've gone over to join the party in Brussels. Listen, Jackie, thank you for that. Let me go to Ed and Bernie finally. I've literally got 3 minutes now. Ed, go ahead.
I'm just going to make an analogy there. I think politicians should be given the same responsibility as a surgeon. A politician is lying to get elected, but a surgeon can't make a mistake because they're going to be held accountable.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the same analogy a politician needs to be given is the same as a surgeon.
Right, in other words, I get you. In other words, if the surgeon makes a mistake, somebody dies. So in other words, by the way, yeah, if politicians make a mistake, people can die too. Yeah.
If the surgeon is halfway through an operation, they say, I'll just cut corners here and I'll do this and that. They're going to be held accountable for it.
Mm-hmm.
But a politician is lying to get elected, and then they're changing their minds. So they should be treated the same way as a surgeon. They should be given the same accountability. And if they run away when they're given the accountability, they shouldn't be given any pension.
Absolutely. Listen, Ed, thank you for that. Sorry, and I'm really rushed now. Bernie, by the way, I'm just looking. There was an article on Shannon's side today, by the way, that said that Maloney confirmed that he's going to the Renew Group. Sorry, Bernie, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to make the same analogy. If you went in for an appendectomy and they decided to take, you know, do a boob implant, like on the same table, you'd be held accountable. You know, you can't change, chop and change. You signed up for something and you've told us that this is what we base our votes on. I don't agree with being able to change horses halfway through the course.
Mm.
Come back, you know, and I think that's terrible. I'm very disappointed with what Ciarán Mullooly has done. Absolutely disgusted.
Did you vote for him?
No, I didn't. I voted for Herman Kelly, if I'm honest.
Okay. But Ciarán will obviously argue that he can do more within that grouping. I don't understand how. I wouldn't want to have anything to do with a grouping, by the way. That's if you look at the grouping's manifesto, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with him. You know, some of the stuff that's in there is just crazy. Absolutely crazy. Firstly, I don't embrace transgenderism and gender ideology and key car-free state or streets. I don't want to hand over our policy-making to Europe, or a veto on our policy-making, or an emergency clause to authorise the European Union to act with emergency powers in any major crisis. I don't want to hand over our sovereignty of health and energy and education to Europe. I don't want to hand over or abolish the right of the national veto over the EU defence policies, in other words, defence union, to Europe. I don't want to do any of those things. And I think the voters, you know, who voted, you know, for Independent Ireland candidates or whatever, wouldn't be too pleased to see somebody involved in a grouping like that. They would be more pleased to see them involved with the ECR. Although you might not agree with everything within the ECR, you'd have be more aligned with them.
Yeah, and many of us are going to stand up and try and make a new group. Is there anybody out there who's willing to stand and take it?
Mm.
make a new
well,
government.
Well, there's meant to be some new groupings within the European Parliament this year. I don't know if there is any yet, but because I haven't seen, we won't know for another.
No, but in Ireland, do we have anyone that we can hold up like Michael McDougall? Can he start a group?
Well, he may. You never know. Michael McDougall was asked already if he was willing to start up. There was a suggestion that he was going to start up the PDs again. Progressive Democrats. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. Somebody needs. We couldn't go with what's out there at the moment.
Yeah, I hope Michael McDougall does. Actually, I'd vote for him.
Yeah,
he's a good man.
Me too. Like, I mean, I think he is, and he knows what the Irish people are about, and he doesn't go to sell them out.
Yep, it's absolutely. Bernie, I'm sorry for cutting you short. I do apologise. I apologise to everybody for cutting everybody a little bit short today. So many people wanted to come on in relation to that. I think the bottom line is everybody believes that politicians or those elected representatives should be more accountable when it comes to your votes. In other words, if they take your vote on one thing and then decide to do something a little bit different, well, then they should be stripped of their seat or whatever it is, their local council seat or their TD seat or their European MEP seat or whatever it is, because that's what they vote. That's what they took your votes for. And your votes are extremely valuable, by the way, extremely valuable. Can I mention, by the way, as well, remember the podcast relies on your subscriptions and your donations. I keep saying it till I'm blue in the face. We cannot have these conversations every day. And I am genuinely worried. I mentioned earlier on about Commissioner Mann. I'm worried now that Commissioner Mann has going to have too much power over the next year. I believe, obviously, if you're broadcasting and under an FM licence and you've applied for that licence through the Commission, well, obviously, there is rules and regulations around that. And I accept that when I work on radio. But in the podcasting sphere and the online sphere, what constitutes a podcast? If I go outside, for example, and I take a video of myself talking and I just put it up on Twitter or Instagram, is that a podcast? Or is it a podcast only because I'm sitting down with a microphone in front of me? What constitutes as being a podcast? Is it a podcast because I let people have opinions? Where do we go? Do we stop people having opinions now? Will I have to then turn around, similar to radio, and make sure I have an equal amount on both sides so I can't have a right-leaning podcast? I have to have a centrist podcast all the time? Or what way will that work? How is that going to work? I think it's really unfair, and I will fight it tooth and nail to make sure that Commissioner Mann have no control and no regulation over what we do on this podcast and other podcasts around the country too. And I've listened to people who work in radio going, oh, well, look, you know, it's time. We're governed by the Commissioner Mann and BAI for years. You know, now it's time for you to be regulated. No. By the way, radio people, you should be so disappointed this is happening because it's your industry. I never believed there should have been a regulator in the first place because it's illegal to defame somebody on the air. It would be pointless, by the way, having, you know, one-sided arguments constantly all the time. I know they will happen every now and again when people agree on things. You can't do certain things because it's illegal. You can't encourage or incite violence on the radio because that would be illegal also under the current law. So I don't believe it was ever necessary to have a broadcasting authority. But there you go. That's just my own view on it. In relation to going forward, the European Digital Treaty, I think we're all in a great deal of trouble because it ties in well with the hate speech laws that we will be all silenced. And what it'll do, if Commissioner Mann have regulations and regulatory authority over podcasts, it will create what they call a chilling effect. And that chilling effect means that people will be afraid to speak out. People will be afraid to say anything for fear of getting big fines. And I hope that's not the way it moves forward, because then we're all doomed. So please support us. Support us to continue to do these and have these podcasts and talk about things that are happening in the news on a daily basis. Please support us. If you want to support us, you can go to nileboylan.com. Yeah, a quick donation will do the job. Or indeed, you can subscribe, $5.99 a month. It's like the price of a cup of coffee for the three of us. Please do support us. Thank you very much indeed. And I shall talk to you again. Oh, is it Thursday today? It is. I shall talk to you again on Monday at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.